Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Climate change and the effect on property investment is today's topic on Friends with Money. We typically think of climate change and investing having the greatest effect on mining companies, agricultural businesses, and perhaps energy providers. But today I'm joined by Peter Escher, market analyst and property specialist with real estate platform Wealthy, who can tell us what effect climate change is going to have on property investment. Peter, thank you for joining me today.
Julia, thank you very much for having me. It's great to speak to you again.
Peter, climate change is a big topic currently in politics. Do you think that that topic is of major concern to investors and investment markets in Australia?
Well, it hasn't been to date. It's been somewhat of an afterthought. Maybe on a list of 1 to 10, it's been a 6 or a 7 priority. But it's quickly changing. It's quickly moving. We're seeing it now maybe going to a number 2 or a number 3. And that is because the business community and the investment community, some of the world's biggest investors, have made very, very bold plans and policies around their investments in fossil fuel businesses and businesses that they believe don't live up to community standards. And that's why we are having these types of conversations. And now the pressure is on the government in Australia and most developed countries to take their policies and make them a bit more immediate and a bit more bold around their plans.
And how is the Australian government responding in comparison to governments around the world?
We're lagging because we still don't have a clear energy policy. There is a lot of pressure, and I believe that this will become a major issue next year because it is a federal election year. The IPCC report came out last week and made some very, very bold claims around where we're heading from an environmental perspective. Australia's had numerous prime ministers that have lost their jobs over energy policy and the response to energy. And so while most of the developed countries around the world, particularly in Europe, are moving towards a very, very firm commitment to neutralize their carbon emissions and to reduce drastically going into 2050, Australia is still lagging, but I think catching up because the investment community, again, is starting to act with dollars and businesses putting pressure on government to clarify and move with the times.
Pete, how important is ESG investing and choosing companies that align to people's values with investors? Like, is it more important to different cohorts, say Gen Y or Gen X or Gen Z or anything?
We're seeing a lot of younger investors, particularly millennials, starting to invest around ESG, around businesses that they think have a positive impact on society. What we're actually lacking is investment product. I mean, there isn't too much choice. And these things mean work differently for different types of investors. There's no clear framework yet, but we're starting to see different types of ethical funds. We're starting to see banks like ANZ, for example, make very, very clear commitments that they're not going to invest in fossil fuels. You know, making commitments around what they believe their customers and investors value. And so I think what we'll see is more product from investment businesses, more types of solutions in the market where people can pick and choose, not just around financial metrics, but around social metrics, what's important to them.
And do you think this topic is going to gain in focus for investing in the next few years?
Absolutely. I think this is the biggest theme in investing in the investment community. I think what we will see is a triple scorecard. So not just profit, but also planet and people, you'll start to see when companies report. We're very used to hearing Commonwealth Bank came out, for example, and made X amount, X billions of dollars. But how many people do they employ? You know, what are the impacts, positive impacts that they're having around the communities that they operate in? Is it appropriate to have a bumper profit and to close hundreds of branches and sack thousands of people? I think, you know, these are the things that are going to change. And investors are going to put pressure on these businesses to not just focus on the profit. So I think we don't know what the future looks like. It's always dangerous trying to predict the future. But from what I'm seeing and from what I'm reading and from the people that we're talking to, we're starting to see that these actions are actually materializing.
And are there any overseas trends that Australia is likely to be following at the moment on these things?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple of things. So in the United States, with the Biden administration coming in, what we've seen is their actual stock market regulator, their financial regulator, has started to talk about making reporting around carbon and carbon emissions mandatory, not just voluntary. So in the same way that a business has to lodge its accounts and, you know, show how much profit they've made or what their balance sheet looks like, they're going to probably have to move towards actually reporting their carbon emissions. And we haven't seen this before. There is no way to compare the top 500 businesses in the US against each other based on carbon emissions or carbon emissions per $1 of revenue generated or per employee or all these other metrics. And so we're seeing that in the US, for example. The US is catching up to Europe. Europe has been probably the leader in this space. They have a lot more mature emissions trading schemes. They've mandated what businesses can do and can't do. And so Europe has announced in the past couple of months a Green Deal initiatives where they will not only be rewarding their trading partners, but also punishing them. Potentially punishing trading partners like Australia for not stepping up to the plate or not making commitments. You could see a tariff, for example, on Australian products that are exported into Europe because Australia is deemed as a country that is penalized or not to the standards that the European bloc set. And we're also seeing it in China, believe it or not. China has recently launched an emissions trading system and emissions trading market. So they also feel the pressure to step up to the plate. Now, they are the three biggest economic blocks. And our economy sits, you know, somewhere below that. And so these big forces are going to impact us. They're going to impact our trading partners. And it's going to be very, very difficult to move away from that.
With ESG investing, we've talked about the E. What about the S and G? Are they gaining in importance as well?
The G is usually forgotten. So the environment and social impact, diversity, for example, gender diversity, income diversity, you know, these issues tend to make their way into the news cycle a little bit more than governance. Governance is seen as somewhat of this boring thing that revolves around making sure directors are doing the right things and disclosures. But I think the G is also going to move quite quickly. We've seen Elon Musk, for example, come out and make a lot of noise, you know, as the leader of Tesla, for a business leader to be coming out and tweeting and moving markets and talking about cryptocurrencies and, you know, moving billions of dollars worth of market movement around Twitter. Is that appropriate? And, you know, Tesla's being penalized at the moment by companies that measure ESG. And so that's a potential risk. Around the vaccine space, we have three clear leaders in vaccine development, which are AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Moderna. Johnson & Johnson's vaccine has some issues, and it's sort of fallen to number four. But as the world goes towards a vaccination phase around COVID, what are the policies around each business's profitability on vaccines? AstraZeneca has made a pledge with Oxford University as its partner to not make profit from its COVID vaccines. But Pfizer and Moderna are very different. Moderna has been claiming money from the US government, for example, claiming billions of dollars of grants, yet its profits are going through the roof because the government has mandated its vaccine. So I think governance will probably be a faster mover than the ENES, but the ENES are also very, very important, and they're probably more established and more measurable themes and thematics.
Pete, you're working primarily in the property area. What's going to happen to property investment, in your opinion, with climate change and ESG investing?
So I think one of the biggest themes at the moment is just how we go back to a normal work environment, what that looks like, working from home or working remotely might, on a first impression, seem like it's reducing emissions because we're not traveling as much and we're not on the road. But if we're all moving from a centralized office into our own homes and running our air conditioners and, you know, increasing our footprint, but what's the implications for that? And so businesses are going to be very mindful of when they're thinking about their real estate space, when they're, you know, going out and negotiating leases and planning their workforce. They're going to be thinking about these things, particularly if they have to start disclosing their carbon footprint. By the same token, if you have an older building and that building isn't built to new standards and your emissions are higher and you have to disclose those emissions and potentially pay a tax on those emissions, that might actually make your real estate asset less favorable than a newer building. I'm talking here about, obviously, about commercial and office. And then when it comes to the home, the residential home, how do we actually think about our long-term running costs, the reputation of the builder that you're buying from, the goods and services that you plug into your home? These are all going to be very, very important themes. And so it's going to start with commercial, industrial, office, but it's going to make its way very, very quickly to residential. And residential is the engine of real estate construction. So a lot of the material that we put into our homes at the moment, I don't know if the cement or the concrete or the iron or the timber is sourced sustainably. I don't know if it comes from China or India or somewhere in Asia or Africa, or if it comes from a reputable Australian business that is trying to do the right thing. And so real estate is the largest asset class in our economy, and it's going to be a big, big area to watch.
And can you explain, with carbon emissions and the trading, how it's going to work with different companies?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, what we've seen largely is a voluntary market. I can actually, if I'm booking my flights, my airline might offer me the ability to offset my emissions by buying credits. If my energy company is trying to do the right thing, they might actually say to me, you can offset your energy consumption by going and buying credits through projects that are actually decarbonizing. And so these projects at the moment have been popping up all around the world, where different initiatives are put into place to reduce carbon from the atmosphere. That's measured. And because you're actually providing a positive impact, you're able to trade those credits or sell them to someone that's emitting or creating a negative impact. And so we've basically had a voluntary system where it's up to you. If it's important to you, you can go and buy those credits. If it's important to you as an entrepreneur, you can go and create or sell those credits. But as we come into a market where these things are legislated, if company A needs to go out and buy 500,000 carbon credits a month, for example, that market itself is going to grow. And that money is going to go and find its way into worthy projects. This brings into question a whole you know, a new area about what is a worthy credit, what's a worthy project, how are these projects certified and traded and audited and measured. And we're actually seeing a lot of businesses come into that space now. So carbon trading is a real thing. It's in its infancy, probably where cryptocurrencies or digital assets were about 10 years ago.
And Pete, you're doing something with Wealthy at the moment on carbon emission trading. Can you explain what you're doing as a business?
Yeah, look, we're doing our little part. And what we do is we help investors buy residential real estate. We're a platform where you can come on and build a plan and find an investment that's right for you. And a lot of our investments are brand new. And what we recognized is that there's probably anywhere between 80 to 100 tons of emissions that are released into the atmosphere per two-bedroom apartment that's constructed in Sydney or Melbourne. And so what we've said is, well, if the developers and the builders aren't going to offset those, we will offset those. And in the same way that Virgin, Qantas, or Jetstar will give you the ability to offset your flight, we want to give you the ability to offset the emissions in your investment that were released into the atmosphere during the period of construction. And so as a business, we know we've put this into place. We provide a lot of different incentives, but we're offering people this particular incentive. And we're surprised at just how many investors out there have taken it up, how many investors actually see this as something important. And what we've heard is a lot of people saying that they want to do more. They just don't know how to do more. And so if we as a small business can do this, I'm sure there are a lot of larger businesses that can look at their process, look at their pipeline and find ways that they can help reduce the emissions that are caused by their activities.
Thank you very much, Peter. That was really great to hear your expertise and your insights on all of this and to hear what Wealthy is doing and how people can actually get involved themselves. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, and thanks for pursuing this topic. It's a really important topic, and you know, well done to the Money team for actually making this a priority and making it a feature and talking about it. So thank you very much.
This episode of Friends with Money featured Peter Esho, market analyst and property specialist with real estate platform Wealthy, who told us what effect climate change is going to have on property investment. Remember, you can subscribe to Friends with Money wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and make sure you follow Money Mag Australia on all our social channels.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.